across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
With some apologies forthcoming. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this last day of April, April 30th, 2024. Turn the calendar to May tomorrow. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north. A little misty, but beautiful just the same. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, social media, podcast. Nice to have you along. I've got a question for you. Do you think the fake Trump electors will eventually face legal consequences here in Wisconsin? We are learning just how serious the criminal investigation is getting in Michigan by the attorney general there. That's one of the stories that we'll touch on coming up this morning. We have some really good guests as well. And along the way, we always invite you to call or text in your questions and comments to 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, and use that Civic Media app to get the most out of Civic Media. Listen to stations, call, text, the whole rigmarole, said the old guy. Let's see. We will also have Sharita Booker and Christina Laurie along telling you about the most read, most viewed stories on the Up North News social media sites and in our newsletter. Then in our second hour, along with our usual visit with Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer up near Merrill, we will be joined by a top official with the National Farmers Union to review a significant contradiction, I guess you could call it, in rural America. A largely Republican voting region that is bound to be hurt badly if the budget blueprint being promoted by House Republicans this year were to be adopted next year. If Trump were to win the presidency, if Republicans were to control Congress again, we've seen their plans. They don't hide from them. Unlike a couple of years ago where they kind of tried to downplay, you know, their plans, even though they were right there in writing. Now they're out there for anyone to see. And if you can get through the way that they're being, you know, obfuscated by culture war social issues, you'd see that the nuts and bolts of what they actually plan to do, not really good for the middle class, not good for the rural economy, and frankly, not good for democracy either. So we'll go over that in our second hour. We'll have the Brittany Merlot forecast, of course, along the way, and so much more. But first, let me tell you what the temperatures are like out there. Like I said, a little misty here on Lake Wissota, where it's 45. Hayward's at 38, Park Falls at 40, Wausau's at 45 degrees, Green Bay 49. It's also 49 in La Crosse, 46 in Wisconsin Rapids. Oshkosh is at 49, Madison's at 49, and it is 45 degrees in Waukesha, where Greg Bach is standing by with, God bless him, another great Roy Kent shirt, which reads,
"Whistle! Whistle!"
And my apologies again if you're not a Ted Lasso viewer. You don't get it. If you do, you're loving. You're digging on it.
He can't use a whistle because his lips are sensitive to alloy.
So he yells, "Whistle, yeah. Whistle."
Yeah. I'll find a clip of that to have on the ready, just so you can, you know, if you see injustices of sorts,
I'll just want to blow the whistle.
You want to blow the whistle? I'll just have a Roy Kent whistle, just like, and I just love the way he just is, just that. Whistle, whistle. Sorry if that was a little too loud for folks out there. Also, Pat, I'm not standing by. I'm sitting here. So I'm just truth in news.
Sorry.
Truth in news.
Sorry. I get it. And I mentioned apologies off the top because for folks that, again, are catching this on social media, you know, it's very quiet. They don't hear the commercial breaks. And so right before those drums start hitting on Stevie Ray Vaughan's Crossfire, mm-hmm, I tend to say, all right, here we go, so that you're ready for it. Because if you're not ready for it, as you know, I don't know, do you have the opening theme? Are you able to play it real quick?
I got the technology, so it's like, let's pretend. Okay, here we go.
I like to tell people, okay, here we go. But if you don't do that, it tends to catch you a little off guard. So if anybody spilled their coffee this morning because of that, you couldn't make that adjustment on your volume knob. I apologize. So I don't apologize for the song, though. It's one of my favorite songs. So
did you ever see him live?
No, I never did.
Okay.
And I was actually living in the Milwaukee area when he died in that helicopter crash out of Alpine Valley. And so I was a late convert. I knew like one or two songs. And
yeah.
I don't know a ton more than that. But again, of all the tragedies out there in the rock world, certainly one of the very high ones up there. Hey, I wanted to ask you a couple of things about TV shows, because we have been watching the, I don't know if new is the right word, but there's one by Eugene Levy from, remember him from Schitt's Creek, the TV show.
The TV show, don't find us.
From SCTV. He does one called The Reluctant Traveler.
Yes, I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen him do interviews about it, and they're just as hilarious as when I heard of the show.
Yeah, and it's good. It's really entertaining. It's really not your typical travel show. I mean, you're going to see a few things, but what you're really going to see are the luxurious places where they put them up at. Anyway, I mentioned that because we started watching that because we liked the Stanley Tucci one that had been on CNN where he was traveling through Italy, which was one of our pandemic shows. We don't normally watch travel shows, but we liked Stanley Tucci. We gave it a go. We loved that show. Would love for that to come back. So now we've watched those couple. Well, now I'm seeing promos for one with Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
Called Conan O'Brien Must Go.
Yes.
And so we're asking ourselves, have we already run out the string on this, or is this going to be one that we have to watch as well?
So I will say this about Conan. His travel show, so this is a new one on HBO Max or Max for you cool kids. He has a history of doing travel programs. When he was on TBS, I don't know if about NBC, but on TBS, he had a string of travel segments, and he's so funny, and he always, like, you feel like, oh, he's going to hit that line of disrespectful of the culture, but he just brings it up there so then they can make fun of him, but you can tell he loves being there. So I am all for Conan doing travel shows.
All right. That's something that I may have to check out then. Because we're looking for new shows. Everybody has been talking about Palm Royale, the one with Kristen Wiig and Carol Burnett. We watched the first episode over the weekend. You know, it didn't grab us, but again, so many people are raving about it that I'm sure we're going to have to look at least one or two episodes and see if it really is our cup of tea or not.
We watched the first episode, and I'm like, I'll probably watch the rest of this later. There's so
we've said that about a lot of shows.
There's so many shows out there. We started watching that new one with Colin Farrell called Sugar on Apple TV Plus.
I saw those previews too. You started watching it?
We watched the first episode. I really liked it. It's just like, I feel like that's one of those shows where, all right, I need to be in this. I can't just be, it can't be like I'm watching some TV show while on my phone or on my computer. I really want to focus because it feels like there's a lot of details that happen. And if you miss something, you're like, wait a minute, what happened? You know, so I want to pay it proper attention and respect.
Okay. All right. And then one more note out of the entertainment field here. Did you see what Jerry Seinfeld had said about TV comedy being killed by the extreme left and PC crap?
Get out of my Twitter, Jerry Seinfeld, you billionaire whiner. It's him and Adam Carolla and now Jimmy Carr. If you're not familiar, folks, with Jimmy Carr, he is an English comic, very known for being very, he can be dirty, offensive, but now he's taken up the mantle of any interview he does. He has to talk about how, but being canceled. It's like, dude, one, you're not going to be canceled. Cancel culture, first of all, folks, and come at me if you'd like, in my Twitter ads or whatever. Cancel culture is not a thing. It is a made-up concept. It doesn't exist. All of these guys,
it's called criticism.
Yeah.
You're allowed to get that and give it. You know,
all cancel culture. You guys are all still performing in arenas or theaters. You're all still rich. You're all still making movies and TV shows. No one's ending your career. And Jerry Seinfeld also. What is he talking like? What far left is like trying to stop him talking about airplane food?
Well, exactly. Now here's the point that he was making, and I want to hasten to add that in this interview with the New Yorker, this was one question. It was one small part of the interview. He clearly did not do this interview to make this point, but he did give this response to a particular question. And the joke that he was using was when Kramer on Seinfeld was going to start this business with rickshaws. Because, yeah, you know, homeless people are already outdoors anyway.
Yeah.
So why not give him a job pulling rickshaws? And he says, I can't make that joke today. To which my response on social media was, you know, old rich white guy is upset because he can't make fun of homeless people anymore. Comedy does not need you to mock people from disadvantaged groups. That's not PC. That's human decency. Jerry Seinfeld finds a thousand ways to be funny. If he can't put something joking about homeless people there and he's only got 999 ways to make people laugh, I think he's still okay.
Well, I know he considers himself to be like the arbiter of all things comedy, and watching him slap down people who are trying to give their opinions. You know what you can do? You can write an episode of television where somebody hires homeless people to drive rickshaws. You can, but you have to write it correctly. You have to write it with a certain mindset where the homeless people aren't the butt of the joke. The person who's trying to do the stupid thing is, and it can be funny. You put the power in the people who are the underclass, and it comes out being good and funny and fun. You can do it. You're just too lazy.
Right. And those things are done, that kind of subversive comedy. I mean, I think the perfect example of that is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
There's nothing PC about that.
Yeah.
But so many people love it because it's funny and it pokes fun back at the main characters.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes. I could talk about this for decades.
I just wanted to know what you thought, and I found out. I found out.
Jerry Seinfeld could shut up. Count your money in your cars.
Let's look at some sports at 6:18. Oh, another rough one for the Brewers. They lost 1-0 Monday night. And for the second game in a row, a controversial ruling went against the Brewers in a game they lost but could have won. In this case, the Brewers had scored the apparent tying run when a wild pitch got away. The umpires ruled that that the hitter had interfered with the catcher when you could tell when he hit him on the backswing. It was, you know, just incidental contact at best. Didn't work out that way, and so the Brewers are again losers, but they'll play Tampa Bay again tonight. Freddie Peralta will start for the Brewers. We'll unpack the news coming up next, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will tell you why Pink Floyd is part of today's history lesson in about 30 minutes. Sharita Booker coming up just moments from now, right after we take a look at what the Milwaukee Bucks are hoping to do tonight, and that would be stay alive in the NBA playoffs. Game 5 is tonight, 8:30. Is tip-off at the Fiserv Forum. You can catch the pregame starting at 8 o'clock tonight on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Erin, Amory, 98Q Country in Park Falls. The thing about the Brewers losing again, and now they have lost three in a row. They are now out of first place in the Central Division. They're now a half a game behind the Cubs, is that their home record is now 5-7. Even though they have the best record in baseball on the road at 12-4, and again, just some not being able to catch some breaks and definitely some questionable umpire calls just make it that much more difficult for the Brewers to fix that home record. But again, they'll give that a go tonight, the second of a three-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. And now let's talk to Sharita Booker, social media manager for Up North News. You can find all of her postings on the Facegram, the Twitter page, whatever these things are. Sharita, how are you? How do you keep them all straight? Honestly, I don't know.
Good, Pat. How are you? And I do my best.
You do awesome work, and I appreciate it very much. So, as we do every week at this time, we look at some of the stories that are getting the most clicks, being read the most, viewed the most, commented on the most. And although it's well in the past now, one of the posts that was especially popular had something to do with it being April 20th. And it seems like every year I meet somebody close to me who goes, I did not know the significance of 420 until now. So it's an awareness of marijuana that's still growing. No, not growing. See what I did there? So Sherita, tell us about what 420 is, what the post was, and what the reaction was.
So 420 is like a celebration of cannabis. So it's like known every day 420, everybody's going to go smoke or indulge in whatever cannabis product they have. So we wish you a happy 420 and shared some fun facts with you. Like, did you know William Shakespeare may have been a stoner? Scientists found traces of cannabis on his centuries-old pipe. And we also asked you if you thought Wisconsin should legalize marijuana. We have a bunch of comments on there. Roxanne said, yes, the lines in Michigan were crazy yesterday. Most of the plates were from Wisconsin, too. Since Minnesota has joined the ranks, we are left with a state closer to you to go and get what you need. Wisconsin is a slave to the league, to the Tavern League. And then Joan said, it's already here, so why not get taxes to use for much-needed roads, bridges, and education?
Yes, we have had at least a couple of studies done that we've talked about on the program some time back about, you know, just how much revenue the state is missing out on, you know, Wisconsin money that's going to schools and roads and bridges in Illinois and Michigan and now Minnesota. It definitely wasn't enough to move the needle with the legislature this year, but we'll see what happens next year. Maybe with new maps, maybe next year on April 20th, we'll see some movement in Wisconsin. Maybe, you know, who knows? Yep. For all of the talk about women's reproductive health rights, there is, in fact, a requirement for employers when it comes to abortion care, wherever you are in the country. And that was another post that got a lot of responses. Tell us about that.
Yes. So your boss has to officially give you time off to recover from childbirth or getting an abortion as part of a new workplace protection made possible through the Pregnant Workers Parents Act. So employers must try to accommodate their workers' needs. At a minimum, that means unpaid time off, but employers can also offer paid time off if they wish to. That post had more than 900 likes and 50 plus comments. Heather said, one step in the right direction for people who birth new people. In a time where we keep hearing more rights being taken away than given, this is a great moment in time. And there were a lot of comments that also highlighted the word unpaid. But like the article says, that's determined by the employer. So hopefully you have one that's understanding and will give you that paid time off instead of unpaid.
Yeah, you would hope so. And yes, unpaid is people will want to complain about that. But, you know, the option is to not be allowed to get any time off whatsoever. And this way, even if it's unpaid, it is something. And sadly, for some employers, that's an advancement. And sadly, for our country, this is an advancement compared to, you know, again, the family health plans from other employers in other countries around the world. But we just kind of keep making progress in baby steps, I guess you could put it. Yeah. And then finally, we have Eric Hovde, the Senate candidate who continues to not have the best rollout ever, especially when there are cameras around.
Yeah, so this is a collaboration post we have with our parent company on Instagram, Courier Newsroom. So Eric Hovde was at the opening of a speedway and led the Pledge of Allegiance, but he completely butchered it and said the wrong word. It was so cringe. And right before that happened, he went on and on and on about how much he loves America and how great it was, which made it even worse that he couldn't even recite the Pledge of Allegiance accurately. That post had more than 2,000 likes and almost 200 comments. Sin said, you think he would have practiced it since he's such a, quote, true patriot. And Denise said, that's so embedded in us. And to misstep it says a lot, especially someone older. I can do it drunk with my finger on my nose and walking a crooked line.
Well, and other people really did not like the fact that when he ended it, he said, amen. Yeah. Because it's not a prayer. It's a pledge to a country, to a flag. And that's a crossing of the line that does not sit well with a lot of folks. So we did get a lot of comments on that and a lot of engagement. And you know, who knows what kind of material the Republican Senate candidate is going to give us next. Yes. But whatever it is, Sherita Booker will be on top of it. Sherita, thanks very much. Good to chat with you. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Pat.
All right, looking at some of the other races that are happening in this big election year. In the 3rd Congressional District, as you know, there are three Democratic candidates running in the August primary. The winner will take on Derek Van Orden in the fall. The candidates will have their second forum tomorrow evening at 6:30 on the UW La Crosse campus at the Student Union Theater. And the Congressional District Forum will air on several different civic media radio stations from 6:30 to 8 tomorrow, including WLCX, The Eagle in La Crosse, 93.5 The Tap here in the Chippewa Valley, WRCE in Richland Center, and locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. So all these places in or around the 3rd Congressional District, this is your chance to hear from Eric Wilson and Katrina Shanklin and Rebecca Cook. And perhaps it may help you make a decision on the primary come August. Also, former President Donald Trump is coming to Waukesha tomorrow. You can tune in to the Maggie Dawn Show for coverage. She'll be joined by civic media news reporters, a former Republican congressman, and members of the Devil's Advocates team to cover the appearance. And so, again, that's tomorrow starting at 2 on your civic media app or civic media stations. All right, quick note about fake electors from CNN, noting that Google and what we all know as Twitter recently provided hundreds of files to Michigan prosecutors for their 2020 election subversion probe, complying with search warrants. It gave prosecutors access to new files belonging to pro-Trump lawyer and Wisconsin lawyer Kenneth Chesbro, who played a major role in the fake electors plot. So the Michigan Attorney General investigation continues to ramp up. We don't know the status, if there is one, of any Wisconsin investigation into the 2020 fake Trump electors. Christina Laurie is up next. You're up north. All right, it's time for The Uplift. Christina Laurie joins us here. She's the editor of our newsletter. You can subscribe to it heading to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. But she's more than just a newsletter editor. She is, she's our favorite aficionado to the Dane County Farmers Market, for example. Perhaps one of their biggest fans. Good morning, Christina. The big question is, have you, in your first visit there, have you yet set aside any spicy cheese bread for me?
My first three visits, Pat. We're 3 weeks into this thing now.
And where does the time go?
Sadly, I haven't saved any spicy cheese bread for you, but I have gotten three loaves for myself now. And I can report, because the last time we talked about the farmer's market was right before it kicked off. Mm-hmm. That first market was incredible. I have not seen that many people at an April market my entire life. I mean, mm-hmm. It was incredible. You would have thought if you just like put someone out there, you would have thought that it was the middle of July. I mean, there were so many booths. The farmers were so excited to be there. People were so excited to finally see them again, pick up their favorite produce. It was like the most ideal 75 degree day.
Now, you have a grueling work schedule, so this might not be a fair question, but if we were going to be able to pick you up by the scruff of your neck and drop you off in another farmer's market, because you've written about some of the other ones around the state. Is there a place where you would like to be? Like, I don't know, Eau Claire has a really nice one on some Saturday morning, or do you have a bucket list of markets that you'd like to check out?
Well, do you know what market it frequently makes national lists that really a lot of people sleep on is the Beloit Farmers Market. It was, you know, rated among the top 10 in the country. Dane County didn't even make that list this year. So I have not been there yet. I would love to check that out. And then I know that this isn't a farmer's market, but similar concept. The Milwaukee Public Market is one of my favorites as well. And that actually just won USA Today's best public market.
Really?
Poll. Yeah. So, we certainly are spoiled a lot here, but I would never say no to any market. So Eau Claire, I'm sure your market's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'd love to make it there. I know Door County has some fabulous markets going on as well. Green Bay, I'd never say no to a market.
Okay. Hey, let's talk a little sports here. Obviously, most of our Bucks talk has been about the postseason here. But again, like all sports teams, there's operations going on year-round, and you've got a little bit of good news off the court for the Bucks, and especially one of the fans' favorite players.
Yes. So most Bucks fans know Bobby Portis as their favorite sixth man. And obviously with Giannis out for an extended period of time towards the end of the season and the beginning of the playoffs, he kind of stepped into the fifth man slot, but he's really taken that sixth man title to heart, both on and off the court. So after playoff practice about 2 weeks ago, he just casually dropped by Feeding America with a semi truck full of food to donate. This is just the kind of guy he is. And he was interviewed afterward. I mean, he just snuck in there. He had a hoodie on. He was not looking for any sort of attention. He didn't call the media ahead of time. The only photos we have of this are just, you know, of a passerby that snapped a photo of him rolling. It's funny. The picture is him rolling a cart with a bunch of boxes that says, "Keep refrigerated butter," which is just like the epitome of Wisconsin. Yes. Of course, that's what he's donating to the food bank. But that's the only reason we know about this to begin with. And so he did eventually get asked at a press conference, you know, why now? Why make that donation? And he was just saying with Mother's Day coming up, he knew that his mom was a single mom. She struggled to always put food on their table. And he wanted to make sure that Wisconsin families didn't feel that way too. And according to Feeding America, this is far from the first donation that he's made of this magnitude. Even he frequently donates massive quantities of food, and the grocery chain Sendix made a matching donation, as they've also done in the past for his donation. So it's awesome. When that's what I love about sports, when these headlines really transcend what could be going on the court as well. Although Bobby does have another awesome honor. He's one of three finalists for the official Sixth Man of the Year award. So fingers crossed he gets that, because he's just a good guy all around.
Yeah, we have been blessed with good guys, good people on Wisconsin teams. We are very, very lucky not to dig too deep into the jerk pile. And some people only get to the jerk pile, you know, at the very tail end, or maybe after they've left for New York. But getting back to all the good characters, I mean, not just Giannis, but let's go to baseball for a second. Robin Yount, one of the good guys, and recently had an anniversary with the Brewers that made me feel really, really old, Christina.
We don't technically have to feel old until August 18th, Pat, because that is going to be his official 50th anniversary celebration.
But 50th anniversary as a rookie. Wow.
Yes. I mean, and it's really incredible that a player spends their entire career with one team.
Right.
The Sox had that with Paul Konerko. He was my favorite player growing up, and it was exactly for that reason, because he never played for anyone else. You can't imagine him without the Sox logo on his uniform. Same thing goes for Robin Yount. So
yeah, Kent Herbeck for the Twins as well. Yeah, I mean, they're rare. I mean, not even in college anymore. With this transfer portal, you know, I mean, the moment you get to know somebody, they're gone. Obviously, they're not going to spend more than 4 years there, but they barely spend one. So Robin Yount is such a throwback that way.
I mean, and even the richest players will sometimes sell out at the end. That's what happened. I was also a big Frank Thomas fan. And I mean, like, it almost seemed like the Sox uniform was glued to his body. You couldn't imagine him in anything else. Then his final season, he goes out west. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you kind of just feel that disconnect. So Robin Yount is one of the rare guys who just stayed true to that one team the entire time. So it's well-deserved that the Brewers are going to be honoring him again Sunday, August 18th at a special ceremony pregame. He's going to throw out the first pitch, but he also has another random honor coming up. So there's this team called the Lake Country Dock Hounds. They're part of the American Association of Professional Baseball, the same league as the Milwaukee Milkmen. And they've declared the following day, August 19th, Robin Yount Day. And they officially signed him to a contract, a one-day contract. And he's going to be an honorary first base coach that day. So that'll be a fun experience for fans to also see him outside of AmFam Field. And then one other date to put on your calendar while we're just looking ahead to exciting things for the Brewers. They're also going to be honoring Ryan Braun. On July 28th, they're going to officially induct him into Milwaukee's Walk of Fame. So there'll be a special ceremony before the game, and he'll also be throwing out the first pitch.
Nice. And I also, as I was looking at the Brewers' schedule here, realized that the day prior to Robin Yount Day, on August 17th, will be Bob Uecker Harry Doyle bobblehead day. The first 30,000 ticketed fans will get Uecker as Harry Doyle in the film Major League, which was on TV just a couple of nights back. And of course, wherever I got to sit down, I got to watch it just to watch, again, the county stadium, all the thousands of extras who showed up there. You know, Uke was amazing. We just, like I said, we're so lucky to have good people in all of these positions.
Absolutely. And that's going to be a big week overall. I know you talk a lot of politics on that show. I believe that is the eve of the DNC kicking off in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I believe it begins on the 19th, which also coincidentally is Bill Clinton's birthday.
Oh, okay. You know, who else we got good people on the Badger basketball team? You know, you think of some of these characters that have come through over the years. I think of Frank the Tank, for example, and so many others. But rather than looking backwards, let's talk about the future of Badgers basketball, the men as well as the women. And again, for all of the cracks I'm making about the transfer portal, what do we know, at least from the early stages, of what kind of a season the Badger basketball teams are going to have later this year?
Well, let's start with the women, Pat. So Wisconsin, they just picked up a promising new recruit. This is an example of the transfer portal working in our favor. They picked up a 6'1" center, Carter McCray, from Northern Kentucky. Last season, she averaged 17 points and 11 rebounds a game. She led all freshmen nationally with those numbers. So it seems like a great get for Wisconsin. Also, to get a transfer that's only a sophomore is always exciting, especially in women's basketball. They are less likely to, you know, go to the draft. So hopefully we can have her in Madison for 3 seasons. The team posted about her. They seemed really excited and welcoming. So welcome to the team, Carter. And then we had an interesting post that we put up on our socials that just seemed like a good discussion topic for us, Pat, because the other day it was Brad Davison's birthday. And he was one of the rare players for the Badgers basketball team who played for 5 seasons here from 2017 to 2022. He was a big leader on the court, and he's kind of one of the last of that generation of players that didn't go transfer to another school. He stayed loyal to Wisconsin this whole time. So a lot of the comments on this post from us were from fans saying, wouldn't it be cool if we added him to the coaching staff somehow? Wisconsin recently had an assistant leave, and I just thought it was an interesting conversation when we're talking about the future of the team. I mean, there are always like so many frustrations that everyone looks to blame the head coach. I'm not immune to the chatter. I've seen a lot of people saying that they need to fire guard. That's why all these players are transferring. I would say no, that is just how NCAA basketball is nowadays. Players like to take full advantage and possibly transfer, but if you could bring back any former player to join the coaching staff, I mean, I felt like Brad Davison was a great pick, but you've certainly been a Badger fan longer than I have. Do you have anyone that you'd like to add?
I'd come back to the Tank. I'd come back to Kaminsky. But again, I'm not nearly the super fan that others are. And I'm sure that if people want to go to that post, or if they want to send us a text here through the Civic Media app and let us know their choices, I think this is, I like this question, because anybody can get involved and come up with somebody from the past who they think would be a good addition to the present and future.
Yeah. I'm trying to go back in my memory. Frank would be awesome. I'm wondering if he's the interesting thing about Wisconsin, and I say this as in growing up as an Illinois fan, I know how cool it is when you see these former players come back to your school and they were like the hero that you looked up to growing up. You know, for me, that was like D. Brown or Chester Frazier, and both of them funneled in and out of, you know, assistant coaching staff at Illinois. It seems like Wisconsin kind of has that same system going on a lot of times with football. You know, they have coaches like, that's why I was kind of pulling for Jim Leonard to get the head coaching job, a former player, quickly turned pro, but then quickly came back to coach for the Badgers. Seems like there's a lot of Wisconsin loyalty here. So I'm excited to see the future for Wisconsin basketball. It seems like they have a lot of interesting things going on. And I know a lot of fans are getting frustrated by the headlines, 7 players now from this past season in the portal, but hopefully we have more portal transfers going our way.
I had to look, though, as you were mentioning this about Frank Kaminsky, I'm like, whatever did happen to him? And now realizing it's been 10 years since he was with the Badgers. He did 4 seasons with the Charlotte Hornets, 3 with the Phoenix Suns, then to Atlanta, then to Houston. He is currently playing for a team in the Basketball League of Serbia. And he's averaging 9 points, 4 boards per game. And so you got to think, you know, how much longer is he going to be an active player? And then what does he do in terms of coaching? And again, I'm just picking one player out of thin air almost, but this has been a good little throwback to go, hey, where is he? Maybe Frank the Tank would come back.
That's right. And I mean, you forget that giant Final Four run was almost 10 seasons ago now.
I know.
We're due.
I would like that very much. Yes. So, all right. Well, that was a good little review of sports and the farmer's market. And for more stories that Christina works on in our newsletter, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the top banner, and find out more there. Or if you have news tips that you'd like to suggest for the newsletter, Christina, where should they email those to?
They can send them right to me, Christina Lorey, L-O-R-E-Y, at upnorthnewswi.com.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You as well, Pat.
All right. And from Roger commenting on Facebook here about the Robin Yount discussion, he says, here's an obscure stat on the kid, who he'll always be known as, played 2,856 games and was never ejected from a game. That's 4th most on the all-time no ejection list. Stan Musial holds the record at just over 3,000, followed by Willie Mays, Brooks Robinson, and then Robin Yount, which tells you what kind of ambassadors they are to the game. So, Roger, thank you very much. We appreciate that. All right, today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north. Always seems to know the way. Then I look at you. And the world's all right with me. Just one look at you. Time for a little Bon Iver on this. Justin Byrne in Eau Claire's own is 43 years old today. In today's history lesson, George Washington took the oath of office in New York City to become the first president of the United States on this day in 1789. In 1803, on this day, the Louisiana Purchase was made with France for $15 million and immediately doubled the size of the young nation. On this day in 1885, New York's governor signed legislation creating the Niagara State Park, ensuring that Niagara Falls would not be devoted solely to industrial and commercial use. You see what happens when Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce isn't around? I mean, all that pristine land and water just going to waste instead of industrial usage? Oh, well, maybe next time. The number one song this day in 1966 was by the Young Rascals.
1, 2, 3, good luck.
The Watergate scandal was quickly unfolding this day in 1973 when President Richard Nixon fired his White House counsel, John Dean, and other top aides, including H.R. Haldeman and John Ehrlichman. So many of Nixon's officials would end up serving time in prison for their role in the criming that Nixon did while he was in office. So our discussion about the criming Donald Trump did is hardly unprecedented. It's just a matter of, unlike Nixon who got pardoned, do we see things through for Donald Trump to eventually face justice for what he did? Kirsten Dunst is 42 years old today. You can see her currently in the movie Civil War. Wonder Woman Gal Gadot is 39 years old today. Rapper Travis Scott is 33. And look, it's not Wichita Lineman, but Glenn Campbell did have a different number one song this day in 1977. Southern I am a lineman for the county. Nope, doesn't sound the same. Southern Nights, number one song this day in 19.
Oh, you didn't think I had that queued up, huh?
Fastest buttons in the Civic Media universe.
I'm a lineman for the county, Pat.
Southern Nights was the number one song this day in 1977.
I love that song, too. I love Glenn Campbell.
Oh, what's not to love? Oh, I mean, seriously.
Just sung. It's just funky.
Yeah, this one's a little on the bubblegummy side, but it was a feel-good music. All right, we were playing Pink Floyd earlier because on this day in 1988, Pink Floyd's album Dark Side of the Moon finally dropped off the Billboard Albums chart for the first time in 11 years. That's some serious staying power. Absolutely. On this day in 1988, an unknown Canadian singer named Celine Dion won the Eurovision Song Contest for Switzerland. I think things worked out for her pretty well after that. On this day in 1983, the number one song was by Michael Jackson. They told him, "Don't you ever come around him." And the song, of course, is perfectly fine, but I'm one of those that likes to talk about Eddie Van Halen's guitar solo, which was an instant legend. And I've also noted that by now there are enough variations on the story of how it came to be that I'm not even going to try to pass along details that, you know, he didn't accept any royalties. The other members of Van Halen couldn't find out about it because nobody was supposed to do side projects. You know, what Michael Jackson said to him and what he did to the song. However the circumstances were, he basically walked into the studio, ripped out this guitar solo, did it a second time just to make sure, and left. Pretty nice day's work if you're Eddie Van Halen.
I agree. It's a good. He's a good guitar player. You know who else is a good guitar player?
Who?
His son Wolfgang.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's a great. He's got his own band. He's a fantastic. Huh. He plays just like his dad, and he's a great follow on Twitter. And when people go after him, his mother Valerie Bertinelli. Oh yep. My God, she doesn't. She is protective.
Don't turn mama loose like that. Yeah. When you said, you know, who else is good guitar, I expected Glenn Campbell to come up because he was an amazing guitar player.
Yeah.
Look up on YouTube, Glenn Campbell, William Tell Overture.
Okay.
He did that with an orchestra. It'll be worth your time. We lost Naomi Judd of the Judds on this day in 2022, one day before she was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. On the international calendar today, it is International Jazz Day.
That was French horn.
Known as a well-known jazz instrument, the French horn. Today is National Honesty Day. Or is it? Might be lying about these things. What?
I was gonna. I didn't have it ready. You really is it? Or is it? There it is.
Today is also Healthy Kids Day. Today is Military Brats Day. It's Mr. Potato Head Day. Tie Dye Day. Adopt a Shelter Pet Day. Aww. Therapy Animal Day. And these two seem to go together. It's National Oatmeal Cookie Day, and it's National Raisin Day. So maybe that's how we ended up with all the raisin oatmeal cookies. And all of the broken hearts from people that thought they were grabbing a chocolate chip cookie.
No, it's when you look at the cookies and the moment, it's like, oh, those look bumpy. Nope, that's an oatmeal raisin cookie.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It's cuss. Whatever.
I know. You gotta sometimes do a double check. And there, look, I like a good oatmeal raisin cookie. I'm just saying when you're expecting one flavor and you get the other, that's rather, shall we say, unwelcome. So today's newsletter that you can get at upnorthnewswi.com includes an article from me offering the start of a biography on Eric Hovde, some of his background before he became a Senate candidate. We'll do the same with Senator Tammy Baldwin. So look for that. Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking in our homeroom segment about a new report from the Department of Public Instruction addressing the teacher shortage in Wisconsin. How did we get to where we are now, Act 10, and what are the other factors involved that we can possibly do to address it? Then there's the from the Civic Media folks here, The 6 p.m. show Busted Pencils will broadcast live tonight on location from the Madison Tap Room of the Minocqua Brewing Company. So tune in at 6 o'clock for Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. First live show together in person with Kirk Bangsted, who, of course, has been a tireless advocate for public education. And all summer long, Busted Pencils will be live at Minocqua Brewing Company once a month to promote public education advocacy around Wisconsin and around the nation. Coming up in our next hour, our friend Hans Breitenmoser is joined by a top official from the National Farmers Union to talk about Republican plans for the economy if they were to take control of Congress next year. That's coming up here on Up North News Radio.